I'm going to start the evening's FAQ. So the question is, should we consider direct action? And the blurb I gave for this was that, Occupy Wall Street and came from pretty much out of nowhere. First thing we all knew about it was they were camping in public parks. Extinction Rebellion kind of did the same thing with a sort of very theatrical, sort of grand guignol approach to climate protests, dressing up as characters out of The Mask of the Red Death and so forth. Quite creepy stuff, really. But the ideas behind these groups aren't particularly special or interesting in that way. They're interesting just because of what they did. They grabbed the media attention. And so, you know, it's a fair question to ask, couldn't we try to do that as well? Now, I do realise that a lot of members have got a kind of a bit of a knee-jerk response to this sort of thing. It's kind of out of the question for us. It's not our way. It's not what we are. It's not what we do. But I think these kind of questions that we automatically rule out of the question are often the most interesting questions. Some people call that kind of thing heresy, but you can also call it lateral thinking. Anyway, so why direct action? Well, think about what we do normally as a party. We do activity that's aimed at putting the case for socialism in the hope that someone will notice. Nothing wrong with that at all. But direct action is different. Instead of trying to put an argument, direct action is all about getting attention. So now, to be clear, I suppose I need to emphasise, I'm not talking about violent direct action of any sort. I'm not talking about terrorism. That's a no-brainer as far as a democratic organisation is concerned. But surely non-violent direct action can be on the table. There's nothing in our theory or in our rules to say that non-violent direct action, or NVDA, is not a legitimate tactical route for socialists. We've never really done it before, but then I would argue that's because we didn't really need to. But times have changed, and we haven't changed with the times. I just looked up what direct action is in Wikipedia, and actually it wasn't quite what I thought it was. It says, non-violent activities which target persons, groups or property deemed offensive to the action participants. Non-violent direct action may include sit-ins, strikes, street blockades, and something called counter-economics, which I had to look up separately, and that seems to mean peaceful human action which is forbidden by the state. Just let your imagination run riot there for a minute. Anyway, I didn't intentionally mean that. I meant any activity primarily aimed at getting press attention. But that could just be a marketing stunt. And what direct action is, to be blunt, is something that pisses somebody off. Well, I thought, okay, all right, let's run with that idea. What are the persons, groups or properties deemed offensive to socialists that we might be willing to piss off? Well, take your pick, to be honest, because the world's full of them. When you look at a lot of direct activism, especially climate activism, it does seem to involve a lot of people being very young and extremely fit, and also fairly nonchalant about getting arrested. So I can't really imagine us doing that. I can't imagine us abseiling into conference centres or circling tankers in inflatable boats. But there are actually websites that show you how to get involved in non-violent direct action. I don't like calling it NVDA because it sounds like some sort of Eastern European secret police. There's one called Beautiful Trouble that describes itself as a toolkit for revolution. I could put the link up, actually. In fact, I will put the link up next to their fish image, which I've put in general chat. I really like their fish image. If you just go and have a look in general chat and look at that, because it's a really nice way to illustrate collective action at work. Anyway, Beautiful Trouble's assumption is, you know, that your direct action is about limited aims and single issues, of course, because that's what most people are into. But there is a lot of stuff on that website that we could learn quite a lot from if we wanted to. But I do recognise there's a lot of scepticism among socialists for this sort of thing, and it's quite easy to see why when you look at the history of NVDA. I looked at the Greenpeace site. On there, they've got a section called How Greenpeace Creates Change, and it's got lots of action shots of activists in climbing gear and scuba gear and generally making Greenpeace look sexy as hell. But it kind of sets up this reaction in me of like, yeah, oh yeah, really, what actual change does Greenpeace create, really? And the truth is, well, probably not that much. But then you could say that about any reformist activity in capitalism. Well, you could say it about us as well, to be fair. But what Greenpeace did before Greta Thunberg came along was help raise the profile of environmentalism so that it got to the top of government agendas. Well, would that have happened anyway? Maybe. I remember the tree-hugging and road protesting of the 1990s, and that didn't really seem to accomplish much. I mean, the roads still got built. Conversely, the capitalist world united fairly successfully to do something about the ozone layer without anyone protesting at all. But all in all, I still think it's fair to say that change is more likely to happen if the public is aware of an issue than if they're not. And the problem we've got is that the working class is not aware of the socialist case. I'm not saying that's all our fault. Capitalism is hugely powerful. Its ideology just dazzles and confuses workers constantly. And there's a limit to what we can do. One member said recently, I thought quite pertinently, being small is what keeps us small. But I would suggest that being unnoticed is what keeps us small. And that's why I think it's worth looking at our tactics again. Now, when I joined the party, the focus of activity was public and outdoor meetings. What you did was you engaged workers directly, one at a time, one by one, and talked and argued with people. I joined the party because of a public meeting. I didn't even want to go to it. My girlfriend at the time wanted to go to it because it was on feminism, as a matter of fact. Well, anyway, that was a time when people went to public meetings. It was fun. It was challenging. It was engaging. Sometimes it could be quite risky, depending on who you were arguing with. And that was how most people came across the party. We didn't have a website. There was no such thing back in the early 80s. Well, as we all know, time has not been kind to this form of political engagement. Where I live, local authorities put a stop to political meetings by preventing any advertising going on. And they also put a stop to paper sales in pubs. They basically put a stop to political activity. But the whole public meeting tactic seems to have died a death generally around the country. But we haven't rethought our tactics since then. We haven't replaced public meetings with some other activity. We've simply replaced them with less activity. We're an old party, very old party. So maybe it's the case that we've become rather institutionalised. We've become set in our ways. But at any rate, it seems to me that we haven't adapted with the times. And that's worrying because we know what happens to entities that don't adapt to changing times. If you remember what Einstein said about insanity, it's doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result. Now, we do things. It's not like we do nothing. We do still have meetings, these online meetings. We do have the odd rare election as well. That's something that we do occasionally. It's not the mainstay of activity that public meetings were. And personally, I've never been convinced by the election tactic for a number of reasons that I don't really need to go into. I've often wondered how it is that anarchists always seem so good at coming up with imaginative media stunts. I wonder if it's because we hold elections, we want to be seen as a, in quotes, respectable political organisation. you know, the kind of party that people would vote for at an election. Anarchists don't have to worry about that, so they can afford to be more creative. So there's a question, are we letting the desire to be respectable get in the way of the need to be noticed? Now, we're definitely right not to adopt the opportunistic tactics of the left, like infiltration, front organisations, and hijacking other people's strikes and protests. But it's easy to see why these tactics are attractive to young, radically minded people. I mean, they offer united action, something to do, a reason to meet up with other people, and a fairly easy sense of achievement. We don't have anything like that. So new members haven't got much to do. We do have committee work, but the trouble with that is it takes some time to learn that stuff, and the same people have been doing it for decades sometimes. And so it's quite hard for new members to get involved in that, even if they wanted to. So there isn't really anything easy for new members to get involved in, things that are fun, that give them a quick adrenaline buzz. So very often people join online, never ever meet anyone in real life, so don't engage with anybody, never get involved in any activity, and then sort of drift away. So we know that this is the situation. So to conclude then, there isn't any logical reason that I can see why socialists couldn't get involved in some form of direct action, as long as we don't go in for things that piss off the working class, like blocking roads or stopping workers getting to work. That doesn't mean that we can't piss off the ruling class or, you know, whoever. I've not got a set of proposals here. I've not got any proposing ideas. I'm just raising the principle of the thing. The pros, I think, would be that direct action would appeal to young people. It might engage our large inactive membership. It can be organised quite quickly via social media nowadays. It could project an image of positive and creative activity. And most of all, it makes the press seek us out instead of us constantly going cap in hand trying to get their attention. I think if we did it right, we've got everything to gain from direct action. I don't really see what we've got to lose. So, OK, there's my pitch for direct action. So what do you think? Is it time we changed our tactics? Who wants to go first?
Did I just ask? Sorry, I'm not very au fait with this. Do we tape in a queue?
No, we don't tend to do that with the FAQs. We don't tend to bother with a chair. We can do it if it gets a bit of a mess, but we haven't bothered up to now.
Jordan's put a queue in the speaking channel.
Oh, right, OK. Well, that's well-behaved of you.
Oh, sorry, somebody else speaking there? Sorry, I had put a queue in as well, but it just came up as a message there. Does Jordan want to speak?
Jordan, yeah, do you want to say something?
Yeah. So I definitely agree, like, direct action is, like, smart. It definitely, like, gets attention and everything. It would just have to make sense. I mean, the whole respectability thing, I agree, is just kind of a spook. Like, it's internet slang. It's, like, stupid. You know, like, it's, like, screw respectability, honestly. At the end of the day, it people who are, you know, who get it are going to respect you anyway. People who don't aren't going to. So it's, like, whatever. But, yeah, I definitely think it would have to make sense. Like you said, like, you couldn't do stuff like blocking roads. That's not going to, like, get us the right kind of attention. You know, like, that's one thing I hate about XR is they're, like, not screwing with the big businesses. They're screwing with everyday people, you know, and it's, like, not our fault. Like, I think it's, like, there was, like, a Guardian article that said, like, some, like, 70% of greenhouse gas emissions were done by, like, 100 companies or something. Like, you should be screwing with them, you know, those 100 companies. Figure out that list and do something about that, you know. But, yeah, definitely, there's a huge list of things you could do, you know, businesses you could mess with, whatever. But yeah, just again, it would just have to make sense.
Yeah, I think one thing that I probably didn't emphasize there is, and the reason why I think a lot of direct action doesn't work is it's not done by class conscious people. It's done by people who think that, you know, that it's okay to piss off workers. And I think that's counterproductive. But I do think that there's lots of things that you could do that don't have to annoy workers. In fact, hopefully you could find things that would make the workers would find quite funny.
Could I make a point?
Please do.
I am absolutely in favour of us getting involved in direct action, no doubt about it. But the problem for me is I would just wonder what it is that we could do that would be relatively safe for us to do. You know, it sort of smacks off the whole thing about the only bad publicity is no publicity. I don't believe that for a second. You know, that's something that Oscar Wilde said, but it might be okay for an aspiring dandy and writer who wants to get a disreputable reputation, but it's certainly not something that a political party wants to do. I mean, is it really better for a political party to gain a reputation for being lawless or foolhardy or what would be infinitely worse in my book? What if we were to get involved in something that we ended up couldn't control, and we ended up getting a reputation for any of those things, as I say, but even getting a reputation for having views that are diametrically opposed to what we actually stand for. You know, when all said and done, what would it profit us if we were to gain every front page and lose our own soul? One of the things about doing the things that we do at the minute, like the distributing the Standard and so on, is there's obviously a lot of control over it, so that, you know, we're not going to be printing things, publishing things that get us a bad reputation or get us a reputation for being wrong about anything, because there's a lot of control over it. But in terms of direct action, I would just worry that there's such a thing as unintended consequences. And I think we would have to think it out, whatever it was. And I'd actually like to know that if anybody's got any ideas for something we could do. I remember when we used to discuss these things in Belfast, one of the things that our old comrade Richard Montague used to say is, you know, it's a good idea to put a bell around a cat's neck. For the mouse to put the cat, to put the bell around the cat's neck. But, you know, how are we going to do it? You know, how's it done? It's always hard to do it is the difficult thing. So I'd be very interested in hearing some ideas. I would certainly be all for it. But I think we would really need to think it out really well and really try to stop any consequences that, you know, would reflect badly on us. That's me, thanks.
If I could chip in, maybe. I suppose one idea that springs to mind is, you know, sort of situationist kind of sort of stunts. Or, I mean, one, I've got a bit of a soft spot for that kind of thing, even though I haven't really had the guts to to take part in anything. I mean, one idea would be, I think, you know, it's called subvertising. So that would be things like amending billboards with, I don't know if there's a slogan from a company on an advert, you know, and you change a couple of letters and make it look like it's genuine, you know, but to subvert the message. I like that kind of thing because it makes you sort of, it challenges sort of established images like on adverts or familiar slogans. So yeah, I like that kind of thing because yeah, it makes people think. So yeah, I don't know if there's sort of mileage in that kind of direct action. I suppose, you know, Banksy, you know, he's you know, got a lot of infamy and attention with his messages, which aren't political enough in my view. But that's a similar kind of thing, isn't it? Sort of graffiti and getting noticed that way. I'm not sure if graffiti is really us. Is it? but yeah, I don't know. I like that kind of thing. Cheers.
Nicola, you put a queue in the speaking queue. Did you want to say something?
I did want to say something, but I just wanted the members obviously to talk first. But clearly, I'm an outsider. I've had a lot of experience of direct action in many groups. Agree what the person said about Extinction Rebellion. You've got to be careful of groups like that. You know, what they're doing is not class conscious at all. And there are a lot of groups out there that are class conscious, and they're doing this. They're trying their hardest to think of new things to do and gain attention. And it, really, I don't think it's working for them. And as NMXC, sorry, I don't know your first name, said, you've got to be really careful of unintended consequences. And losing your soul from an outsider's perspective would be pretty sad for me to see, because I think you are out there for people to find. And it's not difficult if you're looking. But some things, I don't think you should force an action. You know, to sit there in a room. What is it we can do? Paddy, I think you yourself came up with the ideal opportunity. You said that in your area they had stopped people doing X, Y, and Z in a local park or whatever. Well, that is something definitely I would challenge. And that, you know, you could start a local campaign, and that does draw people to you, and with a legitimate, you know, who are these people that are saying we can't do this or that and taking away our voice? I mean, to me, that kind of local initiative where something has directly affected you and your ability to operate as you would like, that kind of thing is the ideal opportunity for direct action, as you described it, you know. But other than that, I mean, I like the broader definition of direct action, and not in opposition and always, because actually that's quite tiring for people to be permanently against. I mean, of course we're against capitalism, but it's all better, in my opinion, to be for, always to be for something, for a better world, for socialism. And so you can get really very negative very quickly with some direct action groups, and I think you're better off with in my opinion, like community level campaigns and organising and getting the word out that way. So thanks for listening.
Thanks, Nicola. Well, it's encouraging to know that we're easier to find than we think out there, so that's good news. Also, I think I do agree with you when you say about not forcing actions. I did try and start a campaign locally about this business of the local council preventing all advertising, but it didn't really take off. But yeah, you're right, it's something that maybe we could think about locally again. But it's true of all councils, I think. I mean, you can't advertise, you can't fly post anywhere, you can't advertise, you know, but the councils don't provide anywhere to put legitimate advertising.
Ignore them then.
Yeah.
Direct action.
Yeah, and this comes back to the question that Nigel was asking of, like, what is it safe for us to do? I mean, I do hear what he's saying about, you know, you don't want to get a reputation for being lawless. Well, I don't know. I mean, I remember doing us having me and a bunch of people and some anarchists and whatnot went and had a picnic on the lawn, on the front lawn of the local MP's house. It was this Tory peer, and the police sort of hung around, but as long as we minded our own business, didn't leave any litter, they weren't fussed. But it was just kind of an irritation for the the MP. that was fairly innocuous.
Can I just say, Paddy, yeah, that when I said we didn't want to get a reputation for being lawless, I would have used the word lawless in quotation marks. And be perfectly honest with you, when I first seen the title of the discussion earlier on, I actually immediately thought of robbing a bank. Direct action.
Okay.
Obviously, if we could guarantee the safety of the workers in the bank, I don't know if we would have any actual ethical or moral objections to do it. So when it comes to lawlessness, you know, I'm certainly wide open for suggestions. I thought it was an excellent contribution there from Nicola. A lot of good points there. I was trying to get my head around the thing that Mike, was it Mike had said about changing the letters and slogans and so on. That's certainly an interesting idea. But you know what sort of occurred to me there was, this probably isn't the best forum. You know, if we were going to pursue this in any way, I think it's probably the kind of thing where we would want this, you know, I hate to say this, but we'll have to set up a committee to discuss possible direct actions. You know, maybe our initial direct action would be to set up a committee to discuss direct action. Sort of contradictory. But I certainly think it's worth us pursuing. But, you know, when we're just sort of talking off the top of our heads here, you know, although I thought it was an excellent idea that Mike came up with, I don't think we're going to come up with any brilliant ideas, you know, right now, right at this minute. But maybe it's worth thinking about putting something to the EC to maybe create an ad hoc two-person committee or something like that. Thanks.
I remember years ago the branch was thinking of kidnapping Mr. Blobby when Noel Edmonds had Mr. Blobby and Morecambe or whatever. You know, they had like a theme thing where, you know, but I think that would have been dangerous, really, you know, because you can get put in jail for kidnapping people, right? It was just going to be a joke, really, but anyway.
This was the same Mr. Blobby that beat us in an election campaign, I think.
I did, yeah, I remember was going to hit Mr. Blobby, yeah. That was Littlebrook and Saddleworth, yeah, yeah. Mr. Blobby got more votes than our candidate, yeah, yeah.
I remember.
But, okay, so I was just brainstorming, and, like, I was thinking, so obviously, Libs are going to have a field day if Biden wins. It would be pretty cool to, like, put up pictures or something of, like, maybe quotes Biden said, or, like, Kamala, like, I know she's ruined some people's lives, like, with her rulings. It'd be cool to, like, maybe put up pictures of some of the people who she's ruled on, like, unfairly. And like ruin their lives. I don't know if Trump wins, maybe we could put some like, I don't know, just statistics up somewhere. I guess that's like kind of more dense, but still it'd be cool to put up statistics or something of like, I don't know, like how the trade wars have like ruined, his whole trade war thing has like ruined like rural America to some extent. God, I got to look more into that, but I don't know. I'm just brainstorming stuff right now. And that's stuff that came up to my mind.
The trouble is, Jordan, that stuff is everywhere on the internet. Things Trump said, things Biden did, et cetera, et cetera. And even if we did put up stuff like that, it would be unlikely to attract attention to us. It will attract attention to the people we're talking about, maybe adversely, but I'm not sure whether it would actually make people want to know who's put that stuff up, because, well, so many people are putting it up.
Yeah, I guess that's true. I mean, people would definitely, if you do like a lot of it, like people would definitely know, okay, this is like a concerted campaign, but I feel you.
I was just going to say that when I joined the party when I was 18, I used to write messages on banknotes along with a couple of my pals. But I mean, we can't even do that now because we've got plastic money, but plastic banknotes. I think that the most important word here is attention, because that's something that the party's starved of for 120 years. And the mistake a lot of these left wing and well meaning groups like Extinction Rebellion make is that they're trying to grab the attention of the owning class, whereas our task would be to take our argument to the working class, not the capitalist class. But the problem with all this is that I think you need young people and a lot of people, you know, and it's just not really know the makeup of the party. Well, maybe it's changing, but I don't know, but it's just a thought.
I think there's definitely specific things that we could do. That would be relatively safe for us from the point of view of our reputation and so on. But the thing is, it's just so difficult to come up with something off the top of your head, you know, in this conversation. But I wouldn't doubt for a second that if we really sat down and got our heads together, we could really come up with some maybe, I mean, only take two or three really good ideas. In fact, it would take one good idea to do something to get some positive publicity. But it's just so difficult to come up with the idea, you know, and the way we're sort of going about it here. It's a good conversation, incidentally. It's just, I don't really think it's the kind of thing that you can come up with. I mean, Jordan mentioned there about, you know, putting the words of Kamala Harris up or somewhere. I mean, you know, if you want to do something like that, someone mentioned there, you know, it's all over the internet. I mean, one of the best ones would be Lindsey Graham. I mean, don't really need to get into that. We're probably going to do that Friday night. But, yeah, I mean, I just think the problem is that it's just such a difficult thing to do, to come up with a really good sound idea that suits us, you know, sort of from every angle. Because we're not a reformist party, we can't, you know, there's not much we can do, I don't think. I mean, there's definitely some things, but I don't think we can just do anything. I mean, look at that Socialist Workers' Party. Their direct action is to, as Paddy mentioned earlier on, they're hijacking other people's meetings and so on. Every single public gathering there is, there's a Socialist Workers' Party placard at it. And they've just become a total joke. I mean, they were probably a joke anyway. But, I mean, they're just an embarrassment. You know, I mean, what on earth do they think they're doing? What on earth do they think they're proving? What on earth do they think they look like when all said and done? I mean, we obviously don't want to end up like them. Thanks.
So I just Googled this, and burning flags in America is not illegal, but starting fires without a permit is. Just do what you guys with that will. What you will with that.
I've always been ambivalent about direct action, mainly because I wonder what it would involve. But I'm not against the idea in principle, but I'm not sure what the activities would be. I've been racking my brain for a long time now, nearly 50 years, in fact, about what might be effective. So I'm definitely not against it, but I just don't see. You have to grab the attention of the capitalist media, which is the route by which we're going to grab other workers' attention. In the main, you have to do some spectacularly silly things or spectacularly dangerous things quite often. So, although I'm not hostile to the idea, I just wonder what it is we could do, and perhaps a committee is something that could get the thing started. Because we don't want to, clarity would have to be, as others have said, clarity would have to be a vital component of all this. We don't want to be subsumed under the heading of just another protest group or some kind of vague fellow travelling tendency or whatever. So, as I say, we maybe could take note of some of the bizarre charity stunts that go on. Although I don't see us sitting in baths of baked beans for socialism or walking from Land's End to join a Groats for socialism. But perhaps we could all shave off our eyebrows and gain attention that way. I don't know. It used to infuriate us. For example, you would get people like Bill Boakes, who was back in the late 70s, a public safety democratic monarchist white resident or some such. He got attention on nationwide, and we were standing in a by-election at the time, and we got about 2 seconds mention. I think our name appeared on the screen. Bill Boakes was given almost 15 minutes on nationwide to talk a lot of drivel. So I don't know. I wouldn't like us to end up having to do things that were too bizarre. But on the other hand, if we got attention from something, then as long as it's not too dangerous for us, then perhaps it would be worthwhile. That's what I've thought about it so far.
Andy, I think you make a very persuasive case for thinking seriously about engaging in direct action. And in any case, you absolutely did, right, that inviting people to public political meetings is just, it's in the dustbin of history. So we have to think of something else as the central plank of our activities. However, I can see a potential problem with the case of direct action. And let me try and say what it is. A lot of direct action activities depend on last-minute organisation, an element of surprise. And what that often calls for is a certain degree of secrecy and communication amongst the people who are going to affect that direct action. Now, you can see where the problem might start to arise. The party has a long history of being absolutely open. Anyone can come to any of our meetings. And I think that's a valuable tradition. And it's one that might be endangered if the party started to take part in direct action activities. It might be possible to fight this. You could say, well, individual party members engage in those activities, so it's not being done by the party or in the name of the party. But I think there is at least a potential for a collision course between secrecy and the openness that the party has always exhibited.
Paddy, I noticed that I think there's somebody in the speaking queue. I don't know if you're looking at that.
Joel, yeah, Joel. Joel, just chip in.
I think, if anything, the talk tonight has given us food for thought about what other ways we can publicise the case. I mean, it's maybe what you've said, Paddy, is something which other people wanted to say in the past. But if anything, if it can make us think of other ways to sort of publicise ourselves, I think it's certainly been worth putting on tonight.
Maybe we should do what John suggested earlier and set up another committee, a direct action committee. Slightly tongue-in-cheek there, but, it's a thought.
That's really funny, actually, because something I didn't say, because I thought, no, it's not really relevant. I mentioned earlier that I said we're a very old party, and I wonder in some ways if we're a bit institutionalised, and we've got a certain set way of doing things. And I was tempted to sort of elaborate on that a bit. I didn't in the end, but seeing as it's come up, I suppose I might. I feel that in some ways we've got a kind of committee mentality in the party. Now, I can remember times in the past, this is my own experience in the past, of it's kind of sort of trying to do things that were a bit kind of unusual in the party, adventurous, and getting a distinct feeling that I was really not going through channels. The proper way to do it is to, if you've got an idea, take it to the relevant committee. And which is fine in a way, but what I thought that it probably did was it tends to stifle a sense of initiative on the part of the members, and so that what we end up with is this kind of quite centrist sort of organisation. Now, what does that mean for new members coming into the organisation where they don't know anybody, they don't really know who these committees are or what they do, but they get this strong sense that they can't just go and do something, they can't just get up and do something, they have to go through the kind of channels. I wonder if that, and we set these, we've got all these committees and stuff because we think that's the most democratic way to do it, and because we can't all do everything. We can't all simultaneously do everything. So it does make sense to kind of the division of labour. But the other side of it, I think, is once you've got a committee to do something or think about something, that means the rest of you don't have to think about that because it's being taken care of. It's what they call groupthink, when everybody thinks that someone else is taking care of something, whereas in fact nobody's taking care of it. And I know a lot of members are a bit sceptical about the idea of every time there's a new thought, let's have a committee for it. And I think it's partly because that's our way of kind of, we don't mean to, but when we create a committee for something, we're sort of effectively putting it away in a drawer, which can often become the equivalent of brushing it under the carpet.
I certainly agree with you, Paddy. You know, it is a bit of a, as I mentioned earlier on, it does sound a bit contradictory to say, you know, let's get involved in direct action. And the first thing we'll do is to set up a committee to talk about getting involved in direct action. It's a bit like a Monty Python sketch. But, you know, to be quite honest, this is the one thing that I would be absolutely adamant that the party as a whole has to have control over. I would be absolutely opposed 100%. To some young people joining the party and then immediately thinking they can go out and get involved in all sorts of shenanigans, thinking that they had the party's blessing to do it. I would be absolutely against that. I think we need to bear in mind that, well, we've heard a lot of good points here in regard to direct action, and it sounds like a good thing to do. But, you know, I repeat what I said earlier on there. It's not necessarily the case that, you know, the only thing worse than bad publicity is no publicity. Not for an organisation and not for a political party. I mean, it could actually be disastrous for us. Now, that's not a reason for not doing anything. And that's not I'm all for it. Like, if we could come up with something, if we can come up with some good ideas. But I would be, as I say, absolutely in favour of the party having an iron grip on it, because I think it's too dangerous otherwise. And incidentally, there's so many other things to do in the party for young people if they want to join. You know, not everybody wants to be out on the street, so to speak. You know, there's loads of things to do. They could start laying out the social standard for a start. But as I say, we would need to be very, very careful. It's just such a dangerous thing. And you can imagine the newspapers like that Firminus Sun. I mean, they would love to have a situation where, you know, the UK's oldest socialist party, ends up doing something that gets someone hurt or something like that. They would love to publicise that, and that would be a disaster for us. You know, we don't want to be sitting the next day saying to ourselves, "Priest, I wish we hadn't done that." You know, because we've got such bad ramifications and such bad publicity from it. So it's a very dangerous thing to get involved in, and we actually need to have very strict control over it. Thanks.